The Cork Food Stories Podcast with Clara Cooney, Cork's Red FM.
Welcome to this week's Cork Food Stories Podcast. I'm Clara Cooney, owner of Clara Cooks, where my business is all about educating people through private classes on all things food. This podcast came to life from my passion for sharing the stories of the wonderful food producers and suppliers we have available to us here in Cork. My guest this week, I'm very excited about, is Tony Spate from West Cork Coffee. We'll be talking to Tony about how, as a hobby, he built his first coffee roaster in 2004. And from there, he created West Cork Coffee, roasting and supplying specialty artisan coffee. Hi, Tony. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Clara. How are you?
I'm very well. Great to have you on. I know you're a very busy man, so I really appreciate you taking time out to have a chat with us here this morning.
Thanks very much.
So I know, Tony, we've had a chat, and like I think it's, I always like to kind of go back and to talk about before even coffee or the business became an idea for you. So, I mean, look, when I was growing up, and I think this was the same in many households, there wasn't anything but instant in the cupboards or filtered coffee if you were lucky. You know, and I think, you know, times have definitely changed now, but was it the same for you? I mean, what was it like growing up in your house? Did you know much about coffee?
Yeah, to be honest, growing up in my house, like any other household in Cork, it was instant coffee and mainly tea. My love of coffee came when I started traveling. I suppose doing my J1 visa in New York, and then I did my year backpacking Australia, and I got exposed to a cafe culture that we didn't have in Cork at the time.
Definitely didn't.
And this goes back to 2001 2002, and I went to Australia then in 2004. So there was a few years where I was traveling and experiencing cafe cultures in different parts of the world.
Absolutely. And we talk about that there now in a sec, but I mean, you finished school and you went and did electrical engineering as a trade. And were you working away in that for a while?
So I did my degree in electrical engineering, and I worked in numerous sectors, including validation, instrumentation.
Yeah.
My first job was a project manager for a company in Clonmel. And I kind of worked in different industries in engineering. The coffee became a hobby, I suppose, that grew over time. And I clearly found that my love for food and coffee was, taking over my professional occupation. So I worked in the engineering sector for 13 years, like before I started West Cork Coffee.
Oh, right. Okay. Amazing. Yeah. And look, I mean, you know, like, you know, I know you went traveling. I lived in Melbourne for years, and really, I actually didn't have an appreciation for coffee at all till I lived over there. We just didn't have it available to us here. And I mean, before I left, I was in Dublin, and even in Dublin, you'd find it hard to get a really good cup of coffee. And we didn't have the availability for us now, the way we can have so many gorgeous different blends at home as well, you know, and learning how to brew our own coffee as well. So I know that that's where your fascination came from when you were in Melbourne. Talk us through that and the lead up to building your own roaster. We talk about that in a minute, building that. But what inspired you?
Yeah, so when I arrived in Melbourne, like any backpacker, I was looking for work, and I saw an advertisement for a barista. Now, I'll be honest, back in 2004, I didn't know much what a barista entailed. So I got a job in St. Kilda in Melbourne. And it was a very progressive, vibrant community, and a cafe that I worked in.
What coffee shop was it?
So it was called The Met. It was down on the center of St. Kilda Street.
Yeah, I know it, yeah.
So I started working there. And then I got a job in Chapel Street as well for another cafe that also had a roasting option associated with it. So I was getting a very, very deep knowledge of the full circle, I suppose, of what's involved in coffee, from the roasting to the sourcing and to the serving. So I got I got a great grounding from it. So yeah. I suppose 2004, coming back to Ireland, the cafe scene still wasn't what it is now. It was still pretty small. There was no kind of there was no cafe culture, I suppose. And I brought that love back with me to Cork. And I suppose what I was saying about building my own coffee roaster, that came next, and that was my next hobby.
Well, that's where your skills from being an engineer came in, of course, because not many people would even know how to actually go about doing that. So what was that like for you? I mean, did that take you, that must have taken you quite an amount of time to build it from scratch. And you were doing that obviously on the side while you were working as well.
Yeah. So I suppose my fascination in coffee started with how an organic green coffee seed that comes from a cherry gets roasted, goes through numerous chemical and heat transformations to become the coffee that we love at the moment, you know. And I studied it, and I with trial and error, like, you know, I will say a lot of coffee I roasted first was probably undrinkable, but that was a great learning curve on how to roast. And yeah, I just took it up as a hobby. And as you said, I did my 9-to-5 job, and I did this as a hobby outside of it. It took a few years before I realized, why not give it a go as my permanent job and create my own business? And it came to a stage where I knew coffee was my future, you know.
Yeah, it just shows you though as well. I mean, as you said, like, you had a lot of I suppose failures at the start, kind of just things not working. You know, as a hobbyist. So I mean, you really can see that it's not just something you can just quit your job and start straight away, because it takes time, doesn't it, to really
get
the skill set.
It's like any craft, you know, you have to learn the basics, the foundations, before you can develop yourself into So I suppose when I started selling my coffee as a roasted product, I was very confident in the fact that it was as good, if not better, than what was out there at the moment. You know? So yeah. I had to get to that level first. And with any other business, any other craft as well, it's not overnight success. Like, overnight success never really lasts. I think it's something that needs to be grown, and it has to be grown through passion, and it has to be grown through experience. So. Yeah,
growing it organically, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And, you know, I suppose that was, I returned from Melbourne in 2014. I actually couldn't believe how much Ireland had come on at that stage. And there was coffee shops popping up around Cork. So it was definitely a positive turn. A friend of mine, Owen, who you know as well, he had just started Filter the year before. And he was... He loved educating people about coffee. I used to love going in and sitting at the counter and just sitting there and listening to all the different types of coffee, the different ways we can brew our coffee. It was amazing. Mm. So I think that definitely it was a positive turn, for Cork and for Ireland. And you at that stage, I suppose that was 2014. When I came back, had you started at that stage? I know you haven't till 2016 to Inishannon, but had you started at that stage?
Yeah, so West Cork Coffee kind of started late 2015, early 2016. One of my first customers actually just won MasterChef, Diana Dodog, and she was a friend of mine as well. She won the 2014 MasterChef competition.
Yeah.
And she decided to set up a mobile food unit, but she wanted to serve high quality coffee as well, and she approached me about maybe providing coffee for her. And I wanted to, at the time, combine the West Cork food, the beautiful produce that we have down here, the amazing producers, and put in the coffee aspect as well. So combine everything into a high quality service. And that was my first customer. And I suppose with anybody, You need a good start, and that was a great start for me because Diana had a great following. And
brilliant, yeah.
So it snowballed from there then, you know. So it organically grew where I could take on some fantastic customers like Good Day Deli, Miyazaki, The Fish Basket and Long Strand. So numerous customers came on board and it just took on from there then, you know.
Absolutely. And do you have your I know you used to, was it down in Roscarbury, you used to have a little coffee van down there?
Yeah, so we have a coffee trailer down in Warren Beach called Drip.
Yeah, beautiful.
We're opened all through the summer, 7 days a week, and we're open every weekend 12 months of the year. So we're serving West Cork coffee down there, obviously, and it's a fantastic location.
Warren Beach. So obviously then, like, your passion grew, obviously, and then the opportunity for you, or you obviously started looking then to open a commercial micro grocery. So that was in 2016. Talk us through that.
Yeah, so I suppose the business model itself, I did a lot of work behind it. I had the business plan in place. I had the customer base. And the enterprise board down in West Cork came on board to help me move to a more suitable location for a commercial grocery. So I was lucky to get a grant from the enterprise board. And we relocated to the Forge in Inishannon. So we're located there now since 2017. Yeah. And so we're roasting over there now and supplying coffee to artisan shops and cafes and online. So yeah.
And online, exactly. Yeah. So you had your own coffee roaster that you built, that you brought with you. And then obviously you then got you got one custom made, didn't you? From the Netherlands, yeah. I think it was.
Yeah, so we purchased a Giessen coffee roaster. It's a 6 kilo Giessen roaster from a company in Holland. They're a very high end coffee roaster that it kind of had everything I needed, and I was able to do my own little modifications as well. So I requested extra components and extra hardware to be put into the machine to customize to where how I wanted to roast my coffee.
Amazing.
So yeah, so when I got that, I suppose we went from roasting 1 kilo batches to 6 kilo, which was a big change at the time. It's still quite small, like, so our roaster is still very on the micro level, the artisan coffee level. We roast to order, so we keep quality high, and we kind of keep the quantity low, so we can keep the freshness of the coffee as high as possible.
Amazing. Yeah. And I suppose really, I mean, going from 1 kilo to 6 kilo, it's still six times the amount. So that is you. But I suppose, demand grew. Your name started getting out there. And it wasn't just the artisan cafes. You were going online and people were talking about you. And, I suppose there was a lot more knowledge about you out there as well. And being Cork, as we know, people love to support Cork people. So that was great for you. Absolutely. And then I suppose for you, you grew the business slightly. Then you took on, is it three staff you took on?
Yeah, so we have three of us working at the moment. So we have two people in the roastery that, I suppose, cover the packaging and the courier and the online orders and the quality control side of it. And my primarily job is coffee roasting, green bean sourcing. My main two jobs for the company. And so it's a small operation, but it works really well. And it's great.
And that's the most important thing. So let's talk about coffee, right? So firstly, congratulations on your new coffee you just brought out. It sounds delightful. Toffee, chocolate and cherry, three of my favorite things, of course. Now, I did do a little research on the flavors of coffee, and God, I couldn't get over how complex it all was. Probably the most complex food we actually consume. Everything from the land, the pH balance, altitude, sun, the varieties, how it's harvested and so on. How do you go about selecting the beans, Tony? I mean, there's quite a lot of, I've seen quite a lot of different suppliers out there. So, I mean, what's your strategy to making sure that you're getting the right one to suit you for your customers?
Yeah, so I suppose West Cork Coffee, we're a seasonal coffee roastery. So what that means is we source the coffee to the seasons that the harvests are becoming available.
Yeah.
So what we do, what that entails really is tasting an awful lot of coffee and trying to find special micro lots and special harvests that are coming available.
Okay.
So I'm lucky or unlucky, some people say, to be tasting a lot of coffee each week and continuously looking for something new. Now, we provide, at times, we can have up to 20 different coffees available on our website. We like to give people a wide range and a wide experience of what specialty coffee can offer. Now you have your favorites, your natural Brazils and your washed Colombian coffees.
Mm.
We always have them in stock. They are quite very popular. So the new Brazilian, we have the natural process Olas. That's a very popular coffee at the moment.
Yeah.
But then we source, I suppose, unusual or experimental roasting techniques and process techniques, and so we try to keep it fresh and try to keep it enjoyable for everyone, just so they can try different coffees. And,
yeah. And I suppose for you as well, you know, to keep it fresh for you guys, you know, you finding new flavors, you tasting different coffees, and I mean, yeah, that's it. You probably drink a lot of coffee every day. Tasting, but you know, that's all part of the business, isn't it?
And
in some ways, I suppose, you know, it's a little bit like wine. It takes a long time from seed to us actually drinking our cup of coffee, and you know, anything from like harvesting the fruit, processing, maturing, to roasting, then tasting and adding flavor. It's a very, very skilled profession, and I can see how you took quite a long time, even as a hobby, just to really get it right for yourself. And I mean, I was even looking at that, you know, all the work that goes into the beans, and it can be easily ruined if not roasted with fine precision. So talk us through your roasting process.
Yeah, so I suppose there's lots of factors going to having a great cup of coffee. And it starts with where you're sourcing it from, what origin you're sourcing it from, how that coffee was processed and harvested at origin level. Now the coffee has to be fresh as well, so when it arrives in our roastery, it's profiled, we sample roast it, we test different roast techniques to see which best suits the coffee, and then we have our own kind of style, I suppose, that we roast our coffee in to extract the nuances and the complexity of the coffee. So if you remember, like, coffee is fruit, so you want to bring out those fruit flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fine balance between acidity, body, and what you're trying to do as a roaster, trying to combine all those aspects and bring out the coffee's best flavors as best as you can. So there's a lot of steps involved before it goes into the bag of coffee and goes on the shelf for sale. But
yeah,
it's very enjoyable, Joe. Like, for me, it's the best part of the job. I love sample roasting. I love finding new coffees. And yeah, it's very rewarding when you get a customer who replies or sends you a message saying that they were blown away by a certain coffee. And it's also very interesting when people send you a message saying this coffee is like something I've never had before. So that creates
amazing
a discussion as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I mean, after you roast it, so you leave them to mature in a drum. So why is that required, Tony? I mean, how long do you need that to happen, and why do you do it?
So when we roast coffee, right, so the coffee itself goes to 200 plus degrees, and basically the coffee itself releases gas and CO2. So
yeah,
the coffee ages in barrels. And the reason we do that, without getting too technical, is basically the coffee will become more mature and the flavors will be more relaxed, and the best the coffee can be shown. So we say for filter coffee, you could give it 2 or 3 days post-roast. For espresso,
yeah,
five days post-roast. It gives the coffee time to rest and mature and provide you with the best cup of coffee as possible.
As we said earlier, just like a bit of wine, I know a long, yeah, longer to mature, but it's the same concept really, isn't it?
There's amazing similarities between wine and coffee.
Yeah.
So a lot of people ask me, like, how does this coffee get this flavor? And it can go down to the region, the soil, the climate, where the coffee is harvested and how it's treated, and it's very similar to wine. You can,
yeah.
So there's so many complex flavors in coffee, and as you said with wine, it's very, very similar.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose for us then, Tony, I suppose, you know, as we said, times have changed a lot over the years. So when it comes to us at home and brewing, I mean, what's your favorite way to brew?
My favorite really would change a lot, I suppose. I love natural processed coffees on espresso with milk. So your flat whites and your lattes. I like high altitude, complex washed coffees on filter, especially African coffees. Excuse me. So there's, as you said, there's a lot of ways to make coffee, from your high end espresso machine down to your AeroPress, your V60. so there's lots of options there. For me personally, my preferences change by the week. Basically, I could drink a lot of espresso one week. The following week, I could be drinking a lot of filter coffee.
And do you sell any of those as well, Tony? Do you sell like the AeroPress, the filters, etc.?
Yeah, so if on westcarcoffee.ie, we have a home brewing section where you can buy all your equipment, from AeroPresses to clever drips and filters and all those aspects.
Yeah, amazing. So now you supply quite a number of businesses and cafes, restaurants and selected retailers. Talk us through those, where actually people can go to sample your coffee or to purchase your coffee.
Yeah, so in the city, you have the likes of Good Day Delhi, you have Latitude 51. You can buy the coffee in the English Market from Roti Foodie. I'm always afraid I might forget someone in this. down in West Cork, then you have the Fish Basket. Myself and Brian Shanahan, we're running the Drip Hatch, and you'll be able to buy coffee there as well. And there's an online, obviously, as well. With online, we supply everything from coffee to brewing equipment. And
And you were showing me, of course, those beautiful cups that you got made, that you sell as well, your own branded cups.
So Luke Sisk, who is a local Cork ceramic artist, he designed these cups actually to replicate my roasting machine, basically. So my roasting machine has a brass roof to it, so these cups are almost like gold or gold lined on the rims.
Gorgeous.
And they're branded with WCC, so they're very popular. We're due a restock now actually soon, so when they go live, they're very, very popular on their website.
So you know, you're at this stage at the moment, and as you said yourself, you're small enough. What's the plans, Tony? Are you planning on expanding?
I suppose the expansions are always on the back of my mind, whether that's expand the roastery itself. We do have a new roaster coming, so it's gonna give us the capability of roasting more again. So I suppose that was the next step for us.
Brilliant.
So that's fantastic. We're always looking to work with the right customers, and just people getting in contact at the moment with new businesses. And if all the factors align, we could work together. And for myself, I still focus on the roastery. It's focusing on providing the best possible coffee I can provide.
Yeah.
And I suppose at the moment we're providing barista consultation, training, equipment for a cafe. So we're working on supplying the whole package at the moment.
Brilliant. And you know, like with the last year with COVID and a lot of cafes closed down, like, did you see kind of the retail side of it? I mean, the whole the online business, did that increase?
Yeah, it was dramatically. Like, so it almost made us kind of reconsider how the roastery worked. So the online aspect of the business exploded. So I suppose before COVID, we were probably about 80% wholesale cafes, retail, and 20% online. That's flipped now, so it's gone 80% online.
Wow.
So it's a total change. So that's fantastic. We were very lucky. We have a very good website and we provide a great service before COVID online. So we were in a good position for it, luckily. And it just took a bit of rethinking in the Rose Tree on how we operate on a daily basis. So
Like, I suppose if you think about it, people would go to work and would get their coffee either on their way to work or in the offices themselves. And now work becomes your home. So, and, you know, everybody, well, most people anyway, definitely that enjoys a few cups of coffee a day. So I can just see how that would have turned around. But that's amazing. And hopefully that's going to continue for you as well with the actual wholesale back open as well, you know.
Yeah, so ideally I would love to see our cafes back open doing the business they were doing before COVID, and the online aspect still staying sustainable for us, and that would be a win-win situation. I suppose one of our best-selling products at the moment is a coffee subscription where people subscribe to our coffee and get a fresh bag of coffee on the first Monday of every month.
Brilliant.
That is one of our biggest products at the moment. So I like that people working from home, they have a steady supply of great coffee. And as we all know, like not having good coffee in the house is a bit of an emergency. So, especially at the moment. So yeah, people working from home at the moment are investing in their equipment and investing in good coffee subscriptions. So it's fantastic.
So do you get, you know, with the coffee subscriptions, do you get like, do you choose the coffee that you send out to people? Or like, is there a surprise, like a surprise box? So, you know, every month you'll get a different type of a coffee to try.
Yeah. So what we do is we try to use it as a way of showcasing specialty coffee. So every month you'll get a different coffee. Sometimes these coffees are sourced just for the coffee subscription club. And it comes with detailed notes on the origin. We give you brewing recipes and how to brew the coffee. And it creates a discussion then. Like, so we get a lot of people in the coffee subscription club who come back with their feedback, and it's fantastic. Like, so it's a great way of, I suppose, securing great coffee at home and trying different stuff as well, you know.
Absolutely. And I think people do want to try new coffees. We're definitely, I think, as the customer, getting more creative or just enjoying the different flavors and the tastes. I know that, you know, I'm always trying different types of coffees, and it's lovely to see it, that there's so much out there, that there's a lot of choice. But I love the idea of the subscription. I think that's fantastic. And it's lovely as well, Tony, isn't it, to see there's a lot of coffee trailers after popping up around Cork. Everyone's walking now, so
the mobile coffee, whether it's food or a mobile coffee or ice cream, this is a sector that's growing dramatically at the moment.
I definitely
see a huge surge in that. Like myself and Brian trailer down in the Warren Beach Drip is on its second summer now, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's a fantastic way of showcasing coffee as well in a mobile session.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Tony, that's amazing. I mean, look, it's really interesting, just so that we can be educated a little bit more on the process from seed to cup. I think a lot of people don't realize when they're drinking their cup of coffee what it's actually gone through to get to that stage. So hopefully our listeners today will have a little more appreciation, just like they do when they're having their sip of wine. To understand exactly what's happened. Tony, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you everyone for listening. I hope this chat has given you greater appreciation for your cup of coffee. As always, please like and share Tony's story. You can find Tony on Instagram and Facebook under West Cork Coffee, or also on his website, www.westcorkcoffee.ie, where you can actually, as Tony said there, get your subscription, or you can buy any of the equipment you need, or you can just buy whatever coffees you want to select in. Thank you to Red FM for the production of this podcast. Tony, thank you again, and I wish you all the best for the future of West Cross Coffee.
Thanks very much, Clara. Really
appreciate it. Not at all. Thank you.
You've been listening to a Red FM podcast. For more extra content, go to redextra.ie.